Hello and welcome to the Fit Girl Radio, your go-to podcast for everything fitness, health, mindset, and lifestyle to empower you to live your best life. Are you ready to step up your game? Hi, hello. Welcome back to Fit Girl Radio. Today, we're gonna take a bit of a different approach. Instead of talking about how to progress in the gym and talk about nutrition and training, we're actually gonna talk about habit formation. So I've recently read the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, and I think there are a lot of interesting points that he makes. And to be honest, when you start your fitness journey, there are a lot of changes that you need to make if you want to see progress, especially if you've never worked out before, you've never gone to the gym before, and you've never really taken into account your nutrition or your health. There are a lot of small changes that you need to make that will add up over time. Because doing either one of them on their own will not make a major change, but it's all of them put together that will make a big difference. And that's the whole concept of atomic habits. They're all very minor, small changes, and it's when they're put together that they make an actual change. But making new habits or breaking bad habits is not always that easy. So I thought this would be very interesting and very useful, actually, for when you're just starting on your fitness journey and you need to make those habit changes, but you have no clue where to start or how to even do that. So I've read the whole book. I think it's a very good book. I would definitely suggest you buying it, but I'm not going to cover my top takeaways, the things that I thought were very interesting and very useful, especially when you start on your fitness journey. So let's get started. We're going to start by taking our focus away from the results that we want. And instead, we're going to start looking into the type of person who could actually get those results. So ask yourself the following question. Who is a type of person that could get the outcome that I want? This will shift your focus from an outcome-based perspective to an identity-based perspective. So we start focusing on values and personality traits. For example, if you want to lose 10 pounds and you want to start seeing some muscle definition, instead of fixating on those results, we will shift our focus into who is a type of person that loses 10 pounds and that has visible muscles. When you see someone on social media, on TikTok, on Instagram, you see someone in the gym, who is that type of person that we're looking up to, that we want to look like her? I want to look like this girl. Those are all things that we see in our minds. But who is that type of person that we want to become? In our scenario, in this case where want to lose 10 pounds, want to see visible muscles, this might be someone who is very consistent with going to the gym, focuses on healthy nutrition, takes care of herself, and takes time for recovery. Now we've got our identity. We're no longer focused on those results. We actually are focusing on this identity, on these values, and on these personality traits that the person has, that actually has the results that we're trying to achieve. Now, once we know who the type of person is that we wish to become, because we don't want just those results, we want to become this person. We can start now thinking about what current habit we have that do not cast a vote for this person that we're trying to become, and what habits that we could incorporate that does cast a vote for this type of person we wish to become. For example, current habits that we might have that do not cast a vote for this person that we're trying to become is going out to dinner every day of the week or ordering takeaway every day of the week. That might be a more accurate one because no one is going to go out for dinner, but a lot of people might get takeaway a few times in a week. That's a habit that's not really going to help us reach our goals. It's not a habit that's going to make us this type of person that we wish to become. A habit that we're not having, but that would cost a vote for this type of person that we wish to become, is to eat a healthy breakfast every single morning and prioritize that. That could be a habit. Now, so really look into that. Look at your current habits. What does cost a vote? What doesn't cost a vote? And what are we currently not doing that actually in our mind, this person that we wish to become does do? Now, let's first start by going through some theory before we're going to apply that. The process of building a habit, and it's actually a habit loop that goes through four stages. We have a certain cue that will trigger our brain to initiate a behavior. Then we have a certain craving. We crave this change on state that this habit delivers. we get a response, which is a thought or an action, and then we get a reward. We get a certain feeling of pleasure, for example, after we've done the response, after we've done the habit. The first two, the cue and the craving, are placed in the problem phase, and then the response and the reward are placed in the solution phase. And this is a continual habit loop that is happening. Then there are four laws of behavior change that are based on this habit loop. If you want to create a good habit, we have to make it obvious, and that is relating to the cue. We have to make the cue obvious. We have to make it attractive, and then that's a craving. If your habit is attractive, you will start craving it. We have to make it easy, which relates to the response, make the habit very easy to do. And we have to make it satisfying, which relates to the reward. Once we've done the habit, we should be satisfied. And then we can reverse those when we want to break a bad habit. We can make them invisible, relating to the cue, make the cue invisible. We can make it unattractive, which relates into the craving. When it's unattractive, we will no longer crave it. Make it very difficult, which relates to the response. Make the habit itself just so difficult that you no longer want to do it. And then make the reward unsatisfying. Once you've done the habit, what follows should not be satisfying at all. So now we're going to take a look at those four parts more in depth. The first one, as we said, was the cue, which we can either make obvious if we want to create a good habit, or you want to make it invisible if you want to break a bad habit. For the habits that you want to start incorporating, you should make an implementation intention, where you specify the time and location in which you will carry out the habit. For example, I will meditate right after I wake up while sitting on a couch. This specifies both a time after I wake up and a place on the couch for this habit, which is starting to meditate, that I want to start incorporating. So this is called an implementation intention. You intend to do it at a certain time in a specific location. To make it also a bit easier, you can stack your habits, which is very easily called habit stacking. So what is this? You actually take a current habit that you already have and that you want to keep, and you stack the new habit just on top. For example, when I wait for my coffee to brew, I will do a few stretches. When stacking this on top of an existing behavior, the existing behavior becomes an obvious cue for the new habit. So in this scenario, putting on the coffee machine will now be a cue for your stretches. Easy. After a while, this will become such a habit that when you put on the coffee machine, you don't have to think, oh, I was going to do my stretches now. You know, you automatically do it because it's already, you know, in your brain. You know how to do it. It's a habit. Another way to make it easier is to make the cue a big part of your environment. You need to add sprinkles. You need to sprinkle triggers throughout your surroundings. By doing so, you will increase the odds that you will think about your habit throughout the day. For example, if you want to start drinking more water, you can place a big water bottle in a place where you know it will be bothering you. Because in this way, it bothers you and you'll notice it. And every time you notice it, it reminds you to drink. The same goes for getting rid of bad habits. Here we're going to do the opposite. We will make them invisible instead of obvious. For example, if you want to stop eating a piece of chocolate after dinner, you can wrap the bag with chocolates in cling foil and put it in the back of your cabinet. By doing so, it becomes much harder to take a piece of chocolate because you first have to take all the cling foil off and before you can eat it, and then you have to put all the cling foil back on if you want to put it away again. So this creates this kind of barrier compared to when the bag was just sitting on the counter open and you could easily grab your piece of chocolate. So those are some ways to make the cue either much more obvious or much more invisible. And that's your starting point for creating new habits, looking at this cue. Then the next thing is the craving. We want to make it attractive, so we crave it more, or unattractive, so we crave it less if you want to break a bad habit. Because the thing is, the more attractive a certain behavior is, the more likely it is to be habit forming. To make a habit more attractive, we can try temptation bundling. We are going to link an action that we want to do with an action that we need to do. And we will combine this with habit stacking that we've discussed earlier. So for example, you need to start drinking more water and you want to drink coffee. The combination of temptation bundling and habit stacking will be as follows. After I put on a coffee machine, which is just a current habit that I have, I will drink a glass of water, which is a habit that I need. And after I've had that glass of water, I will drink my coffee, which is a habit that you want. So now we are stacking a current habit that we have with a habit that we need. So we are stacking, putting on a coffee machine, we're drinking my glass of water after, and now we're making it more attractive by bundling this habit that we need, drinking more water, with a habit that we want. Because after the glass of water, we get to have a cup of coffee. So this way you make it much more attractive. An interesting thing here with the craving is that we can actually train ourselves to shift our mindset by creating habits and learning to associate them with a positive experience. For example, take 3 deep breaths and smile and then do a positive experience. After a while, just the habit cue, which is the three deep breaths and smiling, will make you happy without a positive experience afterwards. But you have to be consistent with that if you want that to happen. You have to consistently do the habit cue, which in this case is a 3 deep breaths and smiling, before doing something that you know makes you so happy. And after a while, this cue will automatically make you more happy, even if the positive thing doesn't follow. So if you're having a bad day and you've done this so consistently for a while and you want to feel better, you want to feel more happy, you can just take these 3 deep breaths and you smile and you will instantly feel this relief and this happy, positive vibe, because that's how your mind is now cued. So that's a very interesting one, just for general positivity throughout your day. Now we move on to the third law of behavior, and that is the response. We want to make the response, we want to make the habit as easy as possible or as difficult as possible if you want to break a bad habit. So it's important to note that habits form on frequency and not on time or perfection. So the more that you do it, the quicker it will become a habit. When you do a certain habit for 60 days and you do it every single day, sometimes it's perfect, sometimes it's imperfect, you don't care about how good you're performing it, you do it every single day for 60 days straight. Or in another scenario, you will do it only once a week for a period of 60 days, but you do it perfectly each and every time. These two things will not have the same outcome, although it does regard the same amount of time. It's both 60 days, but it will not have the same outcome because the frequency isn't the same, and that's what counts here. The time doesn't count, and how perfect you're doing it doesn't count either. It's all about the frequency. The part where you're doing it very consistently for every single day, that will give you the bigger chance of making it an actual habit without having to think about it, compared to when you're only doing it once a week for 60 days. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just got to do it. And then there's also the law of least effort. The less energy that a habit requires, the more likely it is to occur. At the end of the day, you want the outcome that the habit delivers. So make them so easy that you'll do them, even if you don't feel like it. Now, to make it so easy, you can also optimize your environment to not only make the cues more obvious, but to also make the actions easier. For example, if you want to start going to the gym in the morning, put your workout clothes on your nightstand next to your bed. Putting them on in the morning will be without a thought. Once you've got them on, you should go to the gym, right? Whereas if you want to start going to the gym in the morning, your alarm goes off and then you have to get out of bed and it's cold and you're just awake, so you can't think straight and you don't know what to wear, and you're standing in front of your closet. You think about, what will I wear to the gym today? You don't want to think about it because it's so early in the morning. Chances are big that you will just give up and go back to bed because I'm so tired anyway. Whereas if you have picked out the night before this awesome gym outfit, you get excited to wear it because it's such a nice outfit. You put it on your nightstand. You wake up, your alarm goes off, you open your eyes, and the first thing you see is that awesome gym outfit that you were so excited to wear. Now you get out of your bed, it's cold again, but you can instantly change to your gym outfit. And now you've got it on already, you've already put in the effort. Now it would be useless to change into your pajamas again and go back to bed, you know? You're not gonna do that, we all know you're not gonna do that. So this is a way to just make it a lot easier, and this relates to the law of the least effort. The same actually for when we want to apply we want to apply this habit for going to the gym, when it comes to the frequency, if you feel like you're not going to have a good workout, do not skip the gym just because you think it's not going to be a good workout. Showing up here is what is important. Even if you show up, you do 20 minutes and you go back home, it's better than just staying home to start off with. If you want to make it a habit to go to the gym 5 days a week, and 2 days out of those, you're just not feeling it, just get your ass to the gym and tell yourself, okay, I'm going to go in, I'm going to warm up, I'm going to do one set. And if I'm not feeling like it, I'm going to go back home. And if you go back home after that, that is totally fine, because at least you went and you tried. It's this frequency that counts, not the perfection. And just in general, if you want to make progress, going to the gym 5 days a week for a month straight, having half of those workouts being good, half of those workouts being semi-good or even bad, will be better than only going twice but having them all be perfect, or only going once a week and having all those workouts be perfect. It's the frequency here and the consistency that is important, not how perfect it is. So that's really important to keep in mind. And then the last part is the reward. Once you've done your habit, it should obviously be satisfying, because if your habit is not satisfying, why would you keep on doing it? And then that's the same for if you want to break a habit, you have to make it unsatisfying. If you're currently doing something that it's hard to get rid of because the reward is so satisfying, make it unsatisfying. So try to add a little bit of immediate pleasure to the habits that pay off in the long run, and a bit of immediate pain to the ones that don't. The immediate reward will increase the rate of the behavior. So for example, if going to the ch started going to the gym is hard for you, it's hard for you to show up in the gym, tell yourself that you will have a specific meal after the gym. For example, you love, let's say you love protein pancakes, but you tell yourself, I can only have my protein pancakes if I went to the gym. Even if you only went for 20 minutes, that's also fine. You went, so you can have your protein pancakes. And if you didn't go, you can't have them. You have to eat something else. Then it's going to be the reward of actually going to the gym is going to be a lot more satisfying, because you know, if I go and if I do my habit, if I go to gym, if I just show up, I got to have my protein pancakes. Obviously, this has to be something very personal to you. It has to be something that makes it rewarding for you. Maybe food isn't a thing for you. Maybe having whatever kind of food after the gym, it's not going to be rewarding for you. Maybe you are obsessed with gym clothes. You tell yourself, I can buy a new pair of leggings if I go to the gym 5 days a week for a month straight. And you know, if I skip once, if I have 1 week where I only go 3 times, I cannot buy this new leggings. And this brand is coming out with this awesome new set and I need to have it, but I can only have it if I stick to this habit of going 5 days a week for a month. Even if I just show up for 20 minutes, the reward is then going to be so much more satisfying to you, and this is going to motivate you to keep going. Then the same goes for a habit that you want to get rid of. What I've heard from one coach who actually, when their clients, when they were prepping for the competition and they had an off-plan meal, so sometimes he would let them have an off-plan meal, like a refeed day, and they could get, for example, burgers. But he told him, you can have an off-plan meal, you can have your burgers, but right after you had those burgers, you have to stand in a cold shower for 5 minutes and you have to stand under it. Now, this way, they were glad that they had the off-plan meal, but they didn't want to do it again when it wasn't asked, when they weren't told to, because then it was correlated with this cold shower afterwards. So this way, this prevented them to have cheat days without the coach knowing. Because cheat days in their mind, or an off-plan meal or a refeed meal, whatever you want to call it, was correlated to having a cold shower for 5 minutes afterwards, and that's not nice. And this is actually a principle that's actually has to do with conditional learning. You know, I don't know if you've heard of Pavlov and the conditional learning, but it's very popular and it can so easily be applied to your habits. For example, if you have passed at a specific restaurant and afterwards you were sick and you had to throw up the whole night, Maybe the pasta wasn't the thing that upset your stomach. Maybe you already had a stomach bug before, but it's because after the pasta you threw up, you never want to have pasta there again. And we all know this. We've all experienced something like this, like, oh, this happened, and afterwards I felt so bad. And the thing I did before, it wasn't correlated, but now I just don't want to do it again. We all know this. We all know the idea of conditional learning. So apply it to your habits, and it will make a world of a difference. So these were my main takeaways in terms of the principles. I also had three quotes noted down that I actually love that I read throughout the book. So the first one is, every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. So everything you do in your day, whatever action it is, it's a vote for the type of person you wish to become. You wake up, you do your meditation. Vote for a person who cares about herself. Vote for a person who cares about her mental health. Now, after this meditation, I make an unhealthy breakfast. Now, that's a vote for someone who is not healthy. That's a vote for someone who doesn't care about her body, who doesn't care about the gym. And this way, every single thing that we do is a vote for the type of person we wish to become. And at the end of the day, we want most of our votes to be for the type of person that we actually desire to be, and not the type of person that we do not want to be. So this is, I thought this was a very good quote because it makes you realize that every single thing you do throughout your day has an impact. It has an impact on just your thoughts. It has an impact on how you see yourself, and it has an impact on who you wish to be. Because if you're constantly saying, I want to be healthier, I want to start working out, but you're not doing anything to make that happen, you're not taking any action that actually votes for this person, then you won't become that. So it's really important to become conscious of that. And it also relates to the second quote that I have, which is the following. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it faith. So I thought this was a very good one as well, because you have to be conscious of everything that you're doing. Because the thing is, we have so many habits already that we're not even aware of. We just do them unconsciously. I brush my teeth every single morning. I don't think about it. I don't think about, should I brush my teeth? Should I not brush my teeth? No, it's a habit. I just do it. But we also have these habits. Now, brushing your teeth is a good thing, obviously. But we also have these habits that we do that are not a good thing. And if we do not start getting conscious of that, it will keep directing our lives. And we will say it's faith, but it's not faith. We are not destined for this unhealthy life because we unconsciously take a piece of chocolate after dinner. I'm not saying that that's bad necessarily. It's all about balance. But you know what I mean? We have to make the unconscious conscious. So try to write down all your current habits that you're doing and really evaluate them. Make them conscious. And then the last quote that I have is, anyone can work hard when they feel motivated. It's the ability to keep going when work isn't exciting that makes a difference. And I think that's a very important mindset that you need to have as well. When motivation is high, when you first start going to the gym, you want to change, you're motivated, it's going to be easy. But you're not going to see that difference until you keep going. And you know, if you want to keep going, it's not always going to be so exciting. It's not always going to be motivating because true progress takes a lot of time. It takes a year, even multiple years. And I'm telling you now, I've been going to the gym for like 7 years or something. Do you think that I felt motivated for every single workout? No, of course not. I definitely did not feel motivated every single time, but I kept showing up. I kept going. And some days I was super excited, and other days I just wasn't. But if I would have only shown up on the days that I felt motivated and on the days that I felt excited, I would not be where I am today. So that was my last quote. I hope you liked this episode. I was a bit different from other episodes because I wasn't so focused on the specifics of training and nutrition. But I think it's very important that you put some good habits in place if you want to stick to this fitness lifestyle and if you want to embark on your fitness journey. All right. If you want to read the book, it's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. I think it was a very good book. I just touched on some points here in this podcast, but obviously the book is much longer and it covers a lot more. And it also gives some very good examples that are very easily understandable. So definitely check out the book if you want to have, if you want to know more on the topic of atomic habits. Try to think about the principles that I told you here. Try to start implementing them, and it will make it so much easier for you to start your fitness journey. Thank you so much for listening. Hit the subscribe button for new podcasts every single week. Check out my socials in the show notes for more content, and let me know what your thoughts on this podcast were by leaving a rating on your favorite podcast platform. See you next time.